This is the second week we have been unable to assemble together on the Lord's Day due to regulations concerning the coronavirus. And this has reminded me just what a blessing it is to be able to assemble together, worship together, fellowship together, and enjoy the company of the Lord's people. We do not know exactly what God is doing through this that has affected not only our nation, but many nations. I'm not really so concerned with the safety measures of our government. We'll certainly abide by them. And I'm not really so concerned as to the progress science is making toward a cure. They'll make whatever progress the Lord enables them to make. I am concerned with what it is God is doing in it all. Many, of course, will say that it's Satan's doing. God has nothing to do with it. But according to God's word, Satan cannot lift a finger except by God's permission. God is the great power behind it all. He's in the middle of it all. So we come today to bring another message, trusting the Lord will use it in your life personally. Before I begin, I'd like to say a word of appreciation to the Grace Baptist Church of Danville, Kentucky, and their pastor, Brother Don Fortner. They provide and maintain this website for the preaching of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. And we're honored to have been permitted to put our messages on this website. There are some 40-something preachers, all of whom are not ashamed of the gospel of God's grace. So, in light of circumstances, here is the message for today. And I exhort you to ask the Lord at this time, what's it all about for me personally? Our message today is from the Old Testament book of Daniel. In the earlier chapters of Daniel, the great kingdom of Babylon was the monstrosity of united politics and religion against the living God. Babylon, of course, comes from the name Babel, back in Genesis 10 and 11, where they said, "Let us build a tower unto heaven." This was after the flood, and what they were saying really was, "Let God send His floods. We'll rise above. We're going to build a tower above and higher and greater than anything God can do. We don't fear Him. We'll be our own God." That spirit of Babel, spirit of rebellion against the Almighty, continued in this great kingdom of Babylon. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, was named for the heathen false god Nebo. So in chapter 1 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Jerusalem and had taken away certain ones prisoner. In the words of chapter 1, verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. Among those choice young folks were three Israelite young men whose Hebrew names were changed and they were given Babylonian names. These three are named and renamed in chapter 1, verse 7. Hananiah, which means Jehovah favors, that he is chosen and loved of God. They changed his name to Shadrach, meaning inspired or illumined by the sun god. Attributing to a false deity all the wisdom and blessing of the living God. The next man, Mishael, which means who is like God. Ascribing to the living God of Israel a superiority belonging only to him who is like God. And they changed his name to Meshach, who is like Shach, one of the Babylonian idols. And the third man was Azariah, meaning Jehovah helps, a testimony that all my help comes from the living God of Israel. They changed Azariah's name to Abednego, servant of Nego. Your help comes from the false gods of Babylon. So, rather than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their Hebrew names, they're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 3 of Daniel, these three men are put to the test as to who their God is and their commitment to him. Is the living God of Israel God, whom Babylon has tried to make them forget? Or is their false gods really God? They did their best to pump these men's minds full of their idol gods. Our message is from chapter 3, and the title of the message today, Delivered in a Crisis. Delivered in a Crisis. I didn't say delivered from a crisis, but delivered in a crisis. I didn't say delivered while in a crisis, but already delivered before the crisis. These three men possessed a God-given faith by which, first of all, they were not afraid before the crisis. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, almost 100 feet high. And he called together all his princes and governors and judges and government officials for a dedication ceremony. And when they all assembled, verse 4 says in chapter 3, then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." So the music sounded, and everybody bowed and worshiped the image, except these three. We might ask, how did they worship after they bowed? Well, to bow to the image was to worship the image. Then came some of the Chaldeans to the king, and they said, there are certain Jews that didn't bow. They've ignored your command. And no one could ignore the king's command. We might wonder, weren't these three afraid not to bow? No, they were not afraid. They had already bowed themselves to to the living God, and they would bow to no other. The king had already advanced these three in the kingdom. The last verse of chapter 2 says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they were not just politicians trying to get ahead. They were already ahead, firmly grounded in commitment to the living God. When the king said, bow to the image, they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to pray about it. Their heart was fixed to say, we'll never do it. I have a lot of people ask me about things contrary to the Scripture. And something they're thinking about doing, and they say, I'm praying about it. You don't have to pray about what the Scripture clearly forbids. So they said, we'll never bow. Did they possibly think this warning of being thrown into the heated furnace was a bluff? No, they knew that it was for real. But they were not afraid of the consequences. To live or to die was not the issue. And when the Lord has done a work in your heart and all is well with Him, to be faithful to the true and living God is the issue. To live or to die is not the issue. So the king called these three forth, and he said to them, perhaps you three misunderstood. We'll try this again. When you hear the music start, you bow and worship the image. And he said, besides, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? And they said to him, O king, with no disrespect to you, bowing to that image is something we cannot and will not do. Our God whom we serve, not our God whom we pretend to serve, go to church every Sunday and sing about Him and listen to the preacher talk about Him, and then we go our way and forget about Him until next Sunday. Not that God. But our God whom we serve, our God who is our life, who is why we live, and He's who we live for. Our God, O King, is able to deliver us. He's really the one in charge here. You think you are, but our God is. But if He don't deliver us from the fire, it doesn't really matter. We're already delivered from bowing to idols. We're not afraid. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's our final word. Do what you have to do. Was not this a serious crisis? Oh, yes. But the three were not afraid before the crisis. Their hearts were firmly anchored in their God. And this thing we're facing at the present time, this coronavirus, has become a very serious concern. It's a great crisis for many. And there's lots of things besides that. Many of us, up in years now with failing health, have concerns about what the future holds in the coming months and years. Well, there's not but one good answer, and that's to have our hope anchored in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and laid down His life. He endured the judgment of God upon the sins of His people. And it's because of who He is and what He's done that we're not afraid before the crisis comes. And we'll not be bullied into bowing to false gods. We're not assembling right now together as a church family, not just because a God-hating government and country tells us we can't assemble. That's not it at all. We would assemble if that were the case. But this is a safety precaution concerning this virus. But we'll not be bullied into bowing to false gods. The living God has been too good to us. He's revealed Himself in my heart to be worthy of all my worship and all my praise. He's worthy of my full allegiance to Him. And so we can say with the psalmist, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. We won't bow. We're not afraid before the crisis comes to our house. Secondly, not only were these three not afraid before the crisis came, they were not alone when it came. They heated the furnace 7 times hotter than usual. And they threw them in. Bound them and threw them in. And the men that threw them in were burned and died in the process. They threw them in bound, all tied up and helpless. That's where I am in this life. In many respects, all tied up and helpless. So are you. Then the king came for a look. And having looked, he said, hey, didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? And weren't they bound? Didn't we tie them up first? And they said, true, O king, that's exactly what we did. And he said, lo, or as we'd say it, lo and behold, I see 4. And they're not bound. I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They're walking around like there was no fire. I don't understand it. They're walking in the midst of the fire. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Who told him what the Son of God looks like? They were not alone in the crisis. Neither are you, neither am I. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We're not alone. Isaiah 43:2, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You're not alone in the crisis. Our God is with us. We need not be afraid. Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. We're not alone in the crisis. Our God can send the ravens with rations enough to the very spot He has us hidden. He can come to the widow's house and cause the meal barrel to never run dry. He can part the Red Sea. He can back up the Jordan. He can give water from a rock. He can and will do whatever is necessary for His child in a crisis. We are not alone, even in the fiery furnace. So not only were these three not afraid before the crisis and not alone in the crisis, but they're not ashamed after the crisis. When it's all over, and they're taken out of the furnace. The Bible says that not a hair on their head is singed. Their clothes are not burned. And there's no smell of smoke about them. The faith of these three was instrumental in the king making another decree. Verse number 28 says, "Therefore I will make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were not ashamed after the crisis is over. They had done the right thing. They had been true to their convictions. And God was with them. You might say, "Well, now that's a wonderful story. But I haven't been so faithful. I'm not worthy of such deliverance." These fellows weren't delivered really because they were faithful, but because God is faithful to them. And He gave them strength. He gave them grace to endure and stand. Faith gave them courage in the crisis hour to trust God. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for me in this crisis in our country. However it all turns out, live or die, God's children will not be ashamed after the crisis. If we live through it, we'll praise our God here. And if we don't live through it, we'll praise Him in His very presence. All is well for God's children. If He's your hope today, if your trust is in Him, you'll not be thrown into the furnace without Him. He'll be there with you. So let us look up to our God. Don't bother looking around. Things don't look too good around us. But look up. Trust in the Lord. Solomon said, "With all thine heart." That is, don't trust anybody else. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't be so foolish as to think you can figure this out and find a way out. Oh no. We don't understand very much. But our God knows it all. And thanks be to Him, we'll understand it better by and by. So trust Him and thank Him that He's in control. In these days, in these times, we should be diligent to pray one for another. We all need God's touch in this hour. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. These winds of adversity will cease in God's time, either in this world or in that which is to come. We bless His holy name. And so, till next time, thank you for listening.